KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's clear and 16 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny here today with a high of 35. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Firefighters have extinguished a fire on a train locomotive near Council Bluffs. Crews from fire departments in Council Bluffs and Crescent responded to the blaze Wednesday night north of Council Bluffs. They used foam to contain the flames that were inside the locomotives, and it took them about 90 minutes to extinguish the fire. An investigation of the cause of that blaze is continuing. I'll have a check of state news coming up next.
If you just look at me when he talks, it would be so much easier.
What happened?
I was supposed to unload the shipment from the home office yesterday, but I didn't. I thought he said to call the home office, so I did. I checked in, and they seemed a little curious, but I told them I was just following orders. So today, he called me and chewed me out because the shipment had an urgent order on it. The customer's really upset, and you know that kind of stuff rolls downhill. I swear, I did not hear him say to unload that shipment.
Well, now will you make an appointment with ASI? We can use the money in your Flex account. We need to use it anyway.
I guess. It's better than getting fired.
Are you struggling at work to hear those around you? Misunderstanding orders given by supervisors, or just missing out on jokes around the break table? Untreated hearing loss could be the culprit. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI, and we can help. If you have funds in your Flex account that you need to use or lose by the end of the year, now's a good time to call for an appointment. I'll take the time to answer any questions about your hearing and how it can be improved, and if needed, which hearing device would best fit your loss and your expectations. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The number of Iowans seeking permits to carry handguns and other weapons has increased 170% this year. The Des Moines Register says in a copyright story today that nearly 95,000 Iowans received non-professional weapons permits from January through November, and that's according to data from the Iowa Department of Public Safety. The surge comes as a new law gives sheriffs less discretion over who can be denied permits. Numbers from the state's most three populous counties show an even greater surge. The number of permits issued thus far in 2011 has spiked 271% in Polk, Linn, and Scott counties. But Scott County Sheriff Dennis Conrad said that few problems have emerged despite the increase. Conrad said that those who qualify for a permit are not likely to cause trouble. Ethanol production in Iowa has increased to a record 3.7 billion gallons in 2011. Production for the state's 41 plants has jumped by about 200 million gallons from last year. Monty Shaw, the executive director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, said the industry has relied on export markets for growth. The overall production for ethanol in the U.S. for 2011 is estimated at 13.8 billion gallons. Foreign sales of U.S. ethanol have added an additional 1 billion gallons of production this year. Much of the foreign demand has come from Brazil. A shortfall in the sugarcane crop caused that nation to turn to imports for its domestic use. Governor Terry Branstad said Iowa's gas tax will eventually increase, but there will be enough money in the state's transportation budget to avoid an increase next year. The governor said he's asked transportation department officials to find $50 million in savings, and the department expects to have an extra $128 million for projects in 2012 because of favorable bids, budget savings, and more federal funding. Branstad said 2012 should be a robust year for road building programs in Iowa. He says he expects a gas tax increase down the road to support a projected $200 million annual shortfall. Democratic State Senator Matt McCoy of Des Moines says he expects lawmakers will push for a phased-in gas tax increase when they convene on January 9th. As the campaign winds down for Christmas, three of the GOP presidential candidates will meet with voters in three different states today. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is wrapping up his three-day bus tour through New Hampshire with appearances in Tilton and in Concord before heading to lunch with the winner of the Grab a Bite with Mitt contest. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich will head to Columbia, South Carolina for a town hall and Christmas season lunch. Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann continues her 99-county bus tour through Iowa, stopping in Bloomfield, Centerville, Corydon, Sheraton, Pella, and Newton. Rick Perry, John Huntsman, Rick Santorum, and Ron Paul have no campaign events scheduled until next week. The Hamburg Inn in Iowa City has long been a popular stop for presidential candidates, but it probably won't be high on Representative Michelle Bachmann's list anymore. About two dozen activists with Occupy Iowa City packed the diner before Bachmann arrived Thursday, then loudly chanted in unison as she tried to mingle with supporters. Their chant blasted the Minnesota congressman's position on gay rights, health care, and taxes, and ended with, "You're not wanted, so just go." The restaurant manager said the campaign blared Christmas songs over a sound system to drown out the protester, and as police arrived, tensions rose, but No one was arrested. Bachman seemed undeterred. Before leaving, she thanked the owner, praised the food, and said it was great to be in Iowa City. Iowa GOP officials say they're stepping up security for the January 3rd caucuses because of concerns over the Wall Street protesters. The Occupy Wall Street protesters may try to disrupt the events. Iowa Republican Party Chairman Matt Strawn says the party has been working with local county and precinct volunteers and law enforcement.
If someone wants to come and participate as a productive member of the caucus, they're certainly welcome to do that. But the minute that there is a disruption that infringes on the rights of other Iowans to have their voices heard at what is a private party caucus function, then that's when we get the authorities involved, and they will take, you know, whatever means necessary to ensure the smooth administration of the caucuses.
Party officials have also hired nationally known cybersecurity experts to make sure the caucus vote tallies aren't hacked.
We're in a much more aggressive environment when it comes to groups that want to have their voice heard. So whether it's the Occupy movement, whether it's the anarchist movement, whether it's a lone wolf hacker who wants to try and make a name for himself, we need to be prepared.
The Occupy Iowa caucus organizers intend to have a People's Caucus in Des Moines next week on Tuesday. They plan a week's worth of street action and other protests at candidates' headquarters next week as well. Occupy Des Moines members have said they do not intend to disrupt the precinct caucuses the following week. State Representative Andrew Wenth says that he won't seek re-election in 2012. The Northeast Iowa Democrat was first elected to House District 18 in 2006. Redistricting after the 2010 census places Wenth in the new House District 55, along with Representative Roger Thomas, a Democrat from Alcater. Wenth says that he won't seek re-election next fall, leaving Thomas as the Democrat incumbent. Wenth cites work and family issues. He's taken on more responsibilities in his job as vice president for external affairs at Upper Iowa University. He got married this year, and he and his wife are expecting a baby next year. Well, the Center for Rural Affairs has gone over the latest census data and found that there is a generational gap in 10 states of the Great Plains, including Iowa. Study author John Bailey says there are a high number of people living in rural areas under the age of 19, and then a dip in the number of working adults, and then a jump in the over 55 age group. Bailey says the reason is simple, a lack of rural jobs.
Working age adults have tended to move to bigger cities. You know, they go there for education and employment and economic opportunities. Then they tend to stay through their working years.
Bailey says a lack of working adults and the tax revenue they generate puts a strain on services such as education and health care. He says federal money for rural development has been declining over the years, but he adds that more resources could go into it if Congress would redirect subsidies away from the largest farms.
We redirect some of those resources to help rural communities where more rural people live and are really in need of some of these resources. If we redirect some of those resources, I think we can accomplish some things to begin to address these demographic challenges.
The Center for Rural Affairs suggests a rural renewal initiative should be created in the next farm bill, and Congress should commit $500 million over 5 years to a community prosperity fund that the Secretary of Agriculture could spend for existing rural development programs. Taking a look now at national news headlines on KJAN, it will take is one no vote today to derail a two-month extension of the payroll tax cut. But if all goes according to plan, Congress will approve the stopgap measure and President Obama will sign it. The bill also would extend jobless benefits. The government has released two fresh readings on the economy. The Commerce Department says consumer spending rose just 0.1% last month. That was lower than economists had expected. In a separate report, the department's durable goods orders rose 3.8%. While that's the biggest gain since July, the figure that measures business investment was down. And 'tis the season to shop and to shoplift. A survey of retailers worldwide predicts that during the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, an estimated $1.84 billion in merchandise will have been stolen this year. The figure by the Global Retail Theft Barometer is up 6% from the same period last year. News time is 8:10.
Life is too precious to miss even one thing, any time of year, but especially during the holidays. For most of us, this special time is filled with joy as we gather with our loved ones. But for someone with untreated hearing loss, it can be a time of confusion and distress. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist of ASI. With the holiday season so near, now is the time to consider whether or not you're going to be able to actually participate in the festivities. If you're having difficulty hearing people talk in a crowded room, having trouble following a conversation, or just feel like you're missing out, you may have a hearing loss. If you're not sure, now would be a good time to call for a hearing evaluation. I'll take the time to answer any questions about your hearing and how it can be improved. And if needed, which hearing device would best fit your loss and your expectations. So as the holidays approach, wouldn't it be a great time of year to hear all that you've been missing? Conversations with family and friends, office get-togethers, singing Christmas carols, and even listening to the Christmas story. Don't miss a single moment now or at any time of the year. Call ASI today with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And the funeral announcements, Wayne Hopping, age 83, of Oakland, died Monday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Wayne Hopping will be today at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Ronald Rehfeldt, age 64, of Oakland, died Tuesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Ronald Rehfeldt will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Lyle Stolberl, age 81, of Stewart, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. A funeral mass for Lyle Stolberl will be held at noon on Tuesday at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Catherine Clayton, age 94, a lifelong resident of Dexter, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Catherine Clayton will be held next Wednesday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Mervyn Schaaf, age 95, of Harlan, died December 16th at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. Funeral services for Mervyn Schaaf will be held next Friday at 11 a.m. January 6th at 11 a.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Louis Lauritsen, formerly of Audubon, died Monday in New Mexico. A celebration of life memorial services for Louis Lauritsen will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. And Anita Nelson, age 93, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Anita Nelson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news was brought to you this morning by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.